Carrico. Can you give me a little bit of an idea on what the community did for the Tibbetts to keep it from being torn down?
Sure. About 1960, 62, 63, it was going to be torn down for a parking lot, as like most of these old opera houses have. They either burn down or they end up being parking lots. And there was somebody in town that wanted to buy the property from the Schulte Movie Company, who had owned and operated it for many years. A local businessman wanted to tear it down for a parking lot for his business. Now I'm trying to buy his business to tear it down for a parking lot for Tibbetts.
Come on now.
I can't do it, but it sounds good to do that. I enjoy saying it. The community wanted to save it. Not all of the community, of course. A lot of people thought it ought to be torn down because it was an old building, something like the courthouse deal. But the Coldwater Community Players and the Coldwater Sweet Adelines, both very popular performing groups at that time in the late 50s and early 60s, got together and they said it'd be a shame to have this old building being torn down, and they would like to take it over, buy it, restore it, and then perform there. And then they had no idea really what else might need to be done, but certainly if the building was being restored, the community could find lots of uses for it. So they went actually door to door in 1960s, 61, and tried to raise the $13,000 that was necessary to buy it from the movie chain and keep it from being torn down. They all got together, and they literally did go from door to door, get a few dollars from this person. They got some little more major money from some of the businesses and industry, and from professional people in town. And they actually went ahead and bought the building. So there they were with a building that was condemned, and the rats running around inside, and had been used for storage. And you can imagine years of movie matinees and kids throwing their brothers over the balcony and tearing up the place, nickel matinees. So it was in really bad shape, and the fire marshal got involved and condemned it and said there was no way they could ever do a show there, and they have to replace the heating plant and put a sprinkling system in. It just became a major headache, a major burden for them. But they didn't want to give up the project, and the Sweet Adelines had a show. They sponsored a country and western show. It was the first one in there. They got it in. Everybody went in. All kinds of people in the community got together, the service clubs, Kiwanis, I know, Rotary Club, and they went in, shoveled the place out, literally, and got the big old boiler downstairs working and heated it up a little bit. But then the fire marshal wouldn't let them keep the furnace on when the audience came in because it was a fire hazard. So the first show they had was this country show with all these people from Nashville and big audience, and it was a cold, cold winter night, and they froze to death, obviously, because as soon as the audience started coming in, they had to put the fire out. Everybody there, the performers, could see their breath on stage and everything, and it was quite a deal. But it got it going, and it kept it going. And in 1964, the Tibbetts Opera Foundation, which runs it today, took it over from the Players. Obviously, the Players and the Coldwater Players and the Sweet Adelines just couldn't possibly afford to put all the money that they became obvious was going to be necessary to restore the building. So,
you're supposed to be asking me questions. It's really interesting.
Okay, then so Dr. Meyer, who was very well known in the community, got lots of people together, and they decided that they were going to save the theater. They were going to put some major money into it to like a sprinkler system, a new heating plant, and just what it needed to get it open. And he organized the Tibbetts Foundation funding plan, which is still used today. We have a series of donors, sustaining members that give $200 a year, and patron members and contributors that give various amounts of money to keep the place open, even today.
These are all from our community here.
They're all from the Coldwater, Bronson, Quincy area, primarily from the Coldwater area at this time, but it gets into some of the other Branch County areas also. And then that was in 64.
And then did you get involved in it?
In late 64, early 65. June 4th of 65, I guess, was a fateful day.
Fateful day?
Yeah, so I came then and to work in the Summer Stock Theater, the American Theater Festival. And after that disastrous season was over, and we lost $22,000 that summer or something. Mm-hmm. But at that time, the theater, by the way, was in debt. I think it was $145,000 they'd spent on the air conditioning and heating and plumbing and those kind of things. And they asked me to stay on in the fall and manage it. They were going to run the theater with volunteer committees in the beginning, committee on housing, house committee and staging committee and, you know, publicity committee and membership and this kind of thing. But that gets pretty old in a hurry after you spend a lot of nights, 4 or 5 nights a week, down there feeding the fire or something.
Yeah. How detailed is your work in with the theater? What is behind the Summer Stock Theater? What type of work is involved?
Well, how do you mean? In what area of it?
All of it.
I drink a lot. I was in the Summer Theater at that time. It was American Theater Festival. We took it over when they hired me full-time in the foundation. I worked that following winter, and then I produced the Summer Theater the following summer. What I do is, well, we have a committee that gets together and picks the plays, 5, 6, 7 shows during the summer, whatever it is. And I put an ad in the trade papers in New York, one or two of the trade papers, and I get all kinds of applications from actors and actresses. This past year, I got almost 1,200 applications for 18 jobs I have.
Wow.
So it's a terrible business.
What type of local talent do you have? Any at all?
Well, we use some local people, sure. We use Bob Pickering and Mrs. Reventish and Marion Brown. Several local people from the community theater, or used to be in the community theater, work with us. Some of the younger kids. This summer we're doing Oliver, and we'll be using lots of younger boys from the area. We'll probably have hundreds and hundreds of kids auditioning when we announce that. And we use people backstage, work the light board and work on crews. We use ushers from the area. And sometimes college kids, they're home for the summer, or maybe some high school seniors. Some of Mary Val's dance students we sometimes use in the chorus.
You do all your own prop building then, right?
We build all our own props here. We have a big warehouse out in J Street. We build as many as 140 costumes a week in our costume shop in the building. So we do, it's a major operation. It costs us about $2,500 a day to operate during the summer.
Now, in off-season, when Summer Stock isn't in season, what do you do as far as keeping the theater open through the fall and winter months?
Well, there is no off-season anymore. There used to be. I'd take a lot of September off in order to recuperate from all the hours we put in during the summer. But as things got better and bigger now, there's no off-season at all. We go right into the fall, into our winter programming. We have children's classes. We have folk dancing. We have creative dramatics classes. The art studio classes downstairs, the art gallery. Then we have the rentals, like the Qantas Travelogue series and the Rotary Show and our country shows, all kinds of things like that that are just keep the theater busy as much as, I'd say maybe 6 nights a week. We either have a play or a rehearsal or something in the theater. The high school uses it, the Coldwater High School. The grade schools, some of the grade schools have their Christmas pageants there now. The junior high school has band concerts, all kinds of things all the time. So there's no off-season anymore.
Now, do you have a good standing community as far as support and keeping up the theater?
Sure, I think so. We have our sustaining membership I told you about earlier that Dr. Meyer started in the very, very beginning. It still provides about $35,000 today, $35,000 a year toward the operations. This year, our operating budget is $148,000, and we'll get about two-thirds of that back in ticket sales and rentals of the building and things like that. The rest of it, maybe not quite two-thirds, the rest of it is donations by local people that keep it going. And we're trying to get some government grants all the time. Every now and then we luck out a little bit, but that's not really a major source of funding for us. And also, in addition to the money, of course, we have lots of committee people. We have more than 68 people working on committees right now for various projects at Tibbetts.
Then the theater itself is for rent to the public at times.
Sure, it's available to any, as our rental contract says, to any responsible group or organization, whatever that means. We charge large weddings. Sure, we have lots of wedding receptions down in the basement there in the lower level. We have all kinds of different things, union meetings, shows, fashion show the other night, things like that. We have all kinds of activities. We charge $100 a night for the use of the theater itself. We charge $50 a night for the use of the lower level for parties and things like that. But actually, it costs us about $163 a day to operate the building, every day of the year. So it, without summer stock costs an additional $2,500 a day. But
you feel bad that I don't come.
Yes, would you like to donate to the Tibbetts Opera Foundation? We'd be pleased. It's a great tax deduction.
Okay, last year you started a dinner before the theater. Are you going to continue that this year, or?
No, we're going to expand it this year. Even last year we just ran them on Fridays and Saturdays, and this year we'll be having dinner before every performance during the summer stock, starting in July 12th, and then on Saturdays there's a show at 5 and 9, so we have a dinner between those shows. We'd have dinner at 8. That covers both the early and the late performance. And then we have performances this year on Wednesdays at 2 o'clock, so we're going to have lunch before that.
You're really expanding this year.
At least I get a free meal every night.
Right. I was going to ask you something, too.
You want to know what goes into putting a play on, right? Took the words right out of your mouth.
Right.
Well, after we audition, I go to New York and audition all these hundreds of people that we have apply. I don't audition them all. I audition about 200 people out of the 1,200 or so that apply.
Now, you go to New York for this, right?
Yes, I go to New York with my staff is in New York. Most of my permanent staff lives in New York during the year. So we all meet there and hire an audition hall and sit there and watch all these people come in and be great for us.
Do you need a secretary?
Yes, I do. The plane leaves every 2 weeks before every Easter. We always go the same time every year because people that don't live in New York, like college teachers, have Easter breaks, and they all come at that time. So I always go the 2 weeks before Easter. Then they come. We do negotiating and things and sign contracts with them, and people almost always accept what we offer because it's a good place to come.
Now, when they're here in Coldwater for summer stock, how are they housed?
Housing is one of the biggest problems we have because people in New York don't have cars because you couldn't drive them anyway in New York, so we have to find a place for people to stay. We don't have any hotels or motels that you can afford or anything like that for a whole summer. So people have to take the actors or actresses in their homes. They have to be close enough to the theater so they can walk, because maybe every now and then somebody has a car or somebody's relatives will let them use a car for the summer or something like that. But mostly they have to walk to work, and they can't pay very much because we don't pay them very much. And you have to be able to put up with kind of crazy hours because they're never home because they start work in the morning and they get through after the show and they go to Omar's and have a drink. And so the time they get home is 1 o'clock and they're going again at 8:30 in the morning. So you don't very often see them. But that's been the biggest problems we have. We have a housing committee that works starting right now. Actually, they've been working a couple of weeks already trying to line up places for people. We have very good luck. The community is very receptive to taking them in.
Now, the type of people in your background in the theater, are there makeup artists and hairstylists and costume and scenery? Or
we have the scenery department that builds the sets, and we have prop department that builds the hand props or furniture or pictures or, you know, the things they use with their hands. And the costume people, of course, build the costumes, and they have dressers sometimes that people have to have quick changes. The professional actors all put on their own makeup. They don't use people to do makeup, usually, unless there's something very special. You know, have a real age problem or somebody trying to be really young, old person being young or young person being old or changing during a show, then they have a very specialized kind of makeup and they'll have an expert do that. And, of course, hair is a big thing. Not so much anymore because everybody just has short hair and lots of wigs.
Kind of casual, yeah. How about a little sneak preview of what's coming up this summer?
Lots of good shows. We have Camelot. It's going to be a beautiful show. We have a big pit orchestra and beautiful scenery and costumes and real good cast. And then we're going to do The Owl and the Pussycat. And that was a real naughty show when we did it 7 years ago because people living together and all those nasty things were not popular then like they are now.
But it's
so it's going to be a little different this time than when we did it. We thought last time there'd be a lot of people that would be very shocked by it. But I doubt that very many people would be shocked by it now. And then we're going to do Oklahoma. Nobody could be very shocked by Oklahoma. That's a wonderful... It's a show that's, surprisingly, that's probably everybody's seen it at least twice, but it's a show that's most asked for, and we're having the most interest in so far in our initial reactions. Then we're going to do I Do, which is a musical, a two-person musical, about 50 years of marriage. And it's not a tragedy, really. It's a comedy. And then we're going to do Oliver, and that's the final production of the season. That'll be beautiful. That's a, it's a wonderful show, and we use our full-stage turntable, revolving the scenery all the time, and it'll be a nice way to end up the season. Three of the shows run 2 weeks, and two of the shows run 1 week. 1 week this year. Prices are the same as last year.
Well, I thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us. And I hope you have a good success this year in your season.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay.